Hallelujah. We've come to get our help.
Amen.
Praise God. We're going to. You know, he's great. Miracles so great. You know, Jesus said, I like to go with what Jesus said. Jesus was a miracle working Jesus, wasn't he? The Bible says that that miracle working Jesus is the same Jesus yesterday, the same Jesus today, and the same Jesus forever. And he said in his word in John chapter 14, he said, the works that I do, these shall you do, but greater works shall you do, because I go unto the Father. We've been crying out. I want to report back to this back to the church for signs, wonders, and miracles. And we've seen them in a measure. And tonight during corporate prayer, the words that kept coming up out of my heart were extraordinary miracles. So be crying out for extraordinary miracles. We'll take the ordinary miracles because they're still miracles. But it's been on my heart, extraordinary miracles. You remember Pastor Nancy Dufresne ministered to me when I was in Iowa years ago. And she had said, well, a few years back, you know, not like 10 or anything, you know, a couple of years back. And she said, Pastor, I see you in your office. Well, she stands in that office of the prophet, and they have that office of seeing and knowing. And I am in my office. Now, in the office in two places, in my office, in my physical office, but in the office I stand in as far as the fivefold ministry gift. She said, I see you in the office calling for the power of God, calling for the impossible. And that's what we've been crying out for. Because our God is the God of the impossible. So be crying out for these. You know, they prayed in the book of Acts chapter 4. Father, stretch forth thy hand to heal, that signs, wonders, and miracles would be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. It's the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that are going to cause people to take notice. Jesus had the miracles, signs, and wonders. And the Bible says many followed him and many believed. We see Peter and John perform a miracle there at the gate, beautiful, in Acts chapter 3. And thousands got saved because of that miracle. Tell you what, we start having miracle signs and wonders around here. We start testifying about them. That'll get the people here. That'll get the people that are sick here and broke down because the world's looking for help. Amen? We have their help. We've had people healed of diabetes. We've had people healed of MS. We've had people healed of incurable respiratory conditions where they were on steroids and medication and breathing treatments, and they're no longer on medication. They're no longer being treated for that stuff. Doctors confirm these things. Praise God. And so we need to be testifying. That was the second thing that was really prayed out in corporate prayer tonight, was that we need to be opening our mouth in this church and telling the people we work with, telling our family members and our friends, the places where we shop, that, hey, you're going through this. Why don't somebody in my church or myself, they got healed down at that church. Miracles have happened down there. Finances have turned around. Families have turned around. Children's lives have turned around. How are they going to know if we don't tell them? If I could clone myself, I would. Because I would tell them. Because I'm telling people everywhere I go about the power of God. And say, well, you're a pastor. No, Jesus said go into the world and preach the gospel. That word preach doesn't mean be a pastor. It means to proclaim. Telling people. So praise God. Good things are ahead. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. I'm so excited about tonight's message and what God has for us. You know, I love and am thrilled when the Holy Ghost, because if you're wondering how does Pastor Mike come up with his messages, I don't play any, mini, miny, mo in the Bible, you know, and then stop on that and say, hey, I'll form a message that way. No, when you have the Holy Ghost, he shows you things. You see, I don't know what you need to hear. I don't know what you're going through, but I like the couple that was here. They came but brand new. They had known my mother before my mom had moved out of her last place. And they came here and they sat over there. They were brand new, and I didn't know them from anybody. I had no idea who they were. And they told me at the end of service, they said, Pastor, it was like everything you were saying, you were speaking directly to me. Someone on Sunday morning that had visited with us had said, I feel like he was speaking directly to me. Well, I didn't know them from anybody, but the Holy Ghost knows what you need to hear, what you need to be blessed, to help you. And I've just yielded myself to him. Lord, if you used a donkey, you can use me, right? Speak through me, God. Hallelujah. So tonight you're going to get your help. Tonight you're going to get answers. Tonight God's going to say something to every single person here that's pertinent to your life. And you're going to think to yourself at times, be so supernatural, say, for those of you that have been here before, it won't be uncommon. You'll say, oh, it happened again. And for those of you that maybe are visiting or newer with us, you say, how in the world did he know I needed to hear that? Well, I didn't, but he did. And it's a sign unto you that he loves you and cares about you, and that this is a place you can actually come and hear from God. That's pretty cool. Praise God. So let's pray and believe Him for all that good stuff. Father, we're just so thankful, so grateful to be co-laborers with You, Lord. What a joy and an honor to be working alongside the Creator to get this job done for Jesus. Lord, we don't take that lightly. Now, Father, we've come out on a Wednesday night. Lord, a summertime in Western New York, we don't get many summer days here. Lord, there's no doubt many things to do, many things to accomplish, many things to get done. But Lord, the people came to hear Your word. And Father, You said it's the hungry ones that would be blessed. Well, Father, I thank You that just by coming out tonight, it's a display of hunger. Just by putting everything else aside and coming to hear the word, that's a display of hunger. So, Father, I thank You You're going to bless people and satisfy people. Now, Lord, I don't know what everybody needs to hear. I don't know what they're going through, what circumstances, what season of life they're in. But, Father, I thank You that You do. And so, Lord, I ask You for a few things. Lord, just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Just like Paul prayed, may I speak as the oracles of God. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, just like Paul said, Lord, give unto me utterance. Give unto me boldness to speak Your word. So, Father, I thank You that when I open my mouth, You're going to fill it with words from heaven. Father, I thank You bullseyes will be hit in each and every person's heart here tonight. Help will be given tonight, Father. And it will lead to increase. It will lead to greater in our lives. And for this, we'll always give You the praise. Lord, we're not here to magnify the name on the building. We're not here to magnify the minister behind the pulpit, me. We're here to magnify You. You are our help. You are our answer. So we thank You for it tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, I want to read something and then make a statement to you here. It says that Jesus said unto him, and what I was saying is about the Holy Ghost, is that I love when He lets me preach on faith. And we've been on a little faith kick last Wednesday and a couple services in a row in Allegheny. And that's the way that as I was seeking the Lord, we're going tonight. And I just love preaching on the topic of faith. Faith should thrill you because faith is your part. Faith is your part in the body of Christ, and you need to become skillful in that. Why? Because Jesus said, very popular verse, we know this verse, but He said, if you, so guess who He's talking about? He's talking about you. He takes the focus off of Himself, and He says, if you. He says, it's not if me. Jesus didn't say it isn't if me. It's if you. Why isn't it not if Him? Because we know He's always ready, always willing, and always able. For the promises of God in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 are yes and amen. He's already said yes. And so now He's saying, if you can believe, it's not up to whether I want to do it. And when I'm pointing to myself, I'm pretending to be Jesus. I know it's a stretch, but that's why I'm saying this. I'm not talking from Pastor Mike's perspective, but from Jesus. He's saying, it's not if me. He's saying, if you can believe. What is belief? Belief is faith. He said, if you can have faith. So it hinges on whether or not you can have faith. It hinges on whether or not you can believe. But He said, if you can believe, if you have faith, all things. Amen. That doesn't leave anything out. I always say when I preach this verse, that ought to make you happy because you all are going through all things. Some of them are a lesser intensity, a middle intensity, and some the fire's turned up hot to the point of impossibility, to a point of no hope, seems hopeless, seems like they'll never get to the other side. And this says that it, that thing that is magnifying in your mind and the devil's blowing up in front of you that you're never going to get past, you know what I'm talking about, the mountains that are in your way. And He says, you can't get past this. There's no hope for this. There's no way out of this. That word dispels all those lies of the devil and anything that the circumstances would try to say to you because He said, it's possible. I don't care that the doctors say it's not. Jesus says it is. I don't care if the accountant says it's not. Jesus says it is. Amen. He says it's possible if you can believe. That's why I said faith is so vital. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now go with me to Hebrews 6 and verse 12, and then I'm going to make that statement that I talked about. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Glory to God. Don't you just feel the change is in the air? I'm telling you, things are going to stop. Remember what the Lord said when I came off the worship platform a couple weeks ago? He said, wait until the miracles start popping around here. And I got the picture of the air popper, because I'm a popcorn fan. I'm a popcorn fan, you know, and I got a picture of an air popper. And he was talking about prayer, that we had been picking up the intensity to pray. And we know by the word says that we can't have what God says we can have in the plan of God that God wants to do without prayer. Prayer makes the power available for it to happen. Amen. And so when I saw that air popper, I saw that you know, when you get the popcorn to start popping, all that stuff you dump in there, it doesn't all come out right away as popcorn. It takes a little bit. It heats up a little bit, right? And that's what that prayer was. It's heating up things. And then you see one go popping in, a piece of popcorn goes popping in. And I always try to grab the first one before the next one come out and burn me. You know, sometimes they don't fully pop, you know, and they come out and burn you. So I try to grab that first one, but then they start popping like left and right, and you can't keep up with getting them out of the bowl. And he said, wait till the miracles start popping around here. And I can just sense it's in the air. Vern's not here with us tonight, but he was diagnosed with lymphoma in May, and we had a testimony of him on Sunday where he is completely cancer-free. I pulled him into that office. I said, brother, God's bigger than this cancer. I'm telling you what, we laid hands on him, believed for the power of God, it shot through him, and he's free, praise God. Hallelujah, it's in the air. I'm telling you, it's in the air. It's in the air. You can just sense it's in the air. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. We're not going to play church. We're going to be a book of Acts church here, where people come to be changed, lives set free. He says that you not be slothful, but followers of them. Now notice this, who through faith... And then once you enter into faith, patience comes with it because the manifestations aren't always automatic. So patience, you just got to have to accept it. Patience is part of it. But it comes through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Well, what are the promises? The promises are that all things are possible. What did Jesus say about all things being possible? Mark 9 said you have to be in faith. Well, the writer of Hebrews here, which I personally believe is Paul, but I guess we'll find out when we get to heaven. Whoever it was, he did a good job, or she did a good job, whoever it was. Amen. And it says here that the promises of God come through faith. What's the promises of God? All things are possible to him that believes. So the avenue to receiving all things and the promises of God is faith. What am I saying? You have to have faith to acquire the promises of God. Now here's a statement I want to make. Faith is the currency of heaven. What do you mean by that? Well, let me bring it down to an example that you can understand. Of course, you know that one of my favorite stores on planet Earth is Cabela's. The first time this young guy who loves the outdoors and hunting walked into Cabela's, I could have swore the rapture happened and I had end up in heaven. There was a flying V. It was down in West Virginia. That's the best Cabela's I think there is. I've been to a few of them. And there was a flying V of geese hanging from the ceiling. And there was elk and bison and grizzly bears and moose. And I thought, Lord, am I here? I must be here. And then I found out I wasn't here. But you know, in that store in Cabela's, there's a lot of things that Pastor Mike would like to put in his cart. Amen. There's a lot of things I'd like to put in that cart. And you know, I can put anything I want in that cart in that store. It's available to anybody, you know. There's only a few things that they have to unlock for you. You know, the guns and things like that. Maybe some of the expensive binoculars or the knives and things. But even if you just ask them, hey, I want that, they'll give it to you. But if it was only that easy... But you got to go to the register and pay for it. Everything's available to you in Cabela's for the right price. Right? Everything. You can buy anything you want in that store, or whatever your store is that you died and gone to heaven when you walk into it, is available to you if you have the right money and the right price, the right currency, right? Amen. All things are possible if you have the right currency. All the promises of God are yes and amen. How do you receive the promises of God? Through faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. Healing's available to you. Prosperity, deliverance, freedom, victory. Whatever you're needing, whatever promise is found in the Word, whatever He speaks to your heart, it's available to you if you have the right currency. Amen. Hallelujah. And, you know, it would be silly and very unwise of me to just go through that store with my eyes so wide open and just a happy little boy, you know, and start putting things into my cart left and right that I want and need without first checking what I have in my account. What do I have available to spend that day? You don't just go through your store, oh, I want that, I want that, I want that, and not have a clue what you have, because you know there's a reckoning coming. It's called the cashier. Yeah, right. Amen. Well, go to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Hallelujah. I told you when I sent out the slick text tonight, we were going to have a faith checkup. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves. What's that mean? Check some things out. Whether what? You be in the faith. You know what it says in the Amplified? It says, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith. Can you pull that up, Janae, in the Amplified? Examine, test, evaluate your own selves. What's he saying? Check up. To see whether or not you are in faith. The same way, why? Because faith equals the receiving of all things. Faith equals what you're believing for. The things that are not showing up right now that you need. Your healing, your prosperity, the deliverance in your children, your business, whatever. You're believing for a spouse, believing for a child, believing for a home, believing for a car. Whatever it is, the acquisition of those things are going to come through the currency of faith. Why? They're all things are possible. And so it would be silly to go through the store and just, oh, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, and put it in my cart. Because let me tell you something about this. When I get to the register, now this is going to drive home something because religion won't like me to say this, but I'm going to say it. It doesn't matter when I get to the register if I need what's in my cart. Sir, that's going to be $1,000. Well, I don't have $1,000. Sorry, you can't get this, but I need it. Sorry, you don't. We don't give things here based on just because you need it. When I get to the register, it doesn't matter that how bad I want it. It doesn't matter how much I love it, how much I desire it, how much I wish for it. The only thing that's going to get me walking out of that store is if I have the right currency. And the right amount of the currency. Amen? It's the truth. Listen, does it matter that you need healing? Does it matter that you want prosperity? Does it matter that you desire such and such? Does it matter? God doesn't, all things are not possible based on what you need. All things are not possible based on what you want. All things are not possible based on what you desire. All things are possible if you can believe. And so it'd be silly to go through life like going through the store, putting things in the cart because you want it, need it, desire it, and wondering, do I have enough on my credit card? Do I have enough on this debit card? Do I have enough in my checking account to back this check? It'd be silly not to first check to make sure that when I go through the store, I can actually acquire some things and walk out with some things. Just the same way, we're standing believing for healing. We're standing believing for finances, for deliverance, for whatever it is. We better check up on ourselves to make sure we got the enough funds and we're in that place to be able to purchase or to acquire those things. Amen? Well, let's do a faith checkup. You know, when you go for a checkup, how many of you know they don't check every single part of your body? And so when I was seeking the Lord, it was on my heart to, I knew we were going to preach faith, but I didn't know which direction to go. And last night in Olean, Allegheny, I went in a different direction. I keep saying Olean for those that are visiting, because that's where we started the church. And then we bought a building in Allegheny, which is the next door neighbor to Olean. But I preached a different area of faith. And tonight, I didn't know if I was going to preach the same message as I did last night, but we're not. We're going to the area the Holy Ghost wants us to. Evidently, we need a faith checkup around here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Are you glad? Hallelujah. I'm not texting. Not texting. Praise God. I promise you. Hallelujah. It's getting a little warm. At least up here it is for me. I don't know about you, but I'm warm anyway. So go with me real quick to Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. We're going to do a faith checkup. Now, we're not going to look at every area to check up on faith, but these are the main ones that the Holy Ghost wanted me to share tonight. So evidently, it's what we need. Amen? Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Are you ready? We're going to look at three areas to have a faith checkup. Just like maybe you go to the doctor and an area they check up is your blood pressure, your heart rate, or your weight, or You know, they look in your throat, look in your ears. So we're going to look at a few places here tonight to do a faith checkup. And again, if the Holy Ghost had these three pointed out, must be that's what we need to look at. We're evaluating, are we in faith? Because if we're not in faith, we're going to be standing at the cash register of heaven wondering why God says healing is for us, why God says prosperity is for us, why God says victory is for us, and it's not happening. Now again, don't misunderstand me. You can be in faith and it just be the patience part. It's not showing up. But find out whether or not I'm in faith in that patience part or I'm in doubt and unbelief. Just because one of the lies of the devil is, if it's not coming to pass, you must not be in faith. We know that's not true. I love the recent case we had in the Allegheny Church when I laid hands on a lady by the name of Margaret several months ago when we were still in the warehouse before we got into the new building. I believe we got in the new building, it was around March this year. And we were still in the warehouse, and so I had called out conditions for hearts because that's what the Holy Ghost wanted to call out, and I had ministered to her on heart. She released her faith. Well, her healing didn't come. You know, for 40 years, the doctors had trouble hearing her heart, kept skipping beats, and she had an irregular heartbeat. And she'd go back to the doctor, and the doctor's still struggling to hear that heartbeat and to have normalcy there. And she had the hands laid on her, and she believed it. She believed God was a healer. She believed that when Pastor Mike prayed for her, the power of God went through her body, and she believed she received. But it didn't come to pass for months. Well, it wasn't because she was doing something wrong. It wasn't because she was out of faith. No, she was in the patience part of faith. So don't let the enemy tell you, because it's not come to pass, that you're not in faith. But this is what a faith checkup will do for us. We can find out, am I in patience in faith, or have I stepped out of the realm of faith, and I'm standing at the cash register, and they're telling me, you got to pay with dollar bills, and I'm trying to pay with a smile. It's not working. Amen? So let's get a checkup tonight. Number one. If you are not consistently speaking what you are believing for, you are not in faith. Again, say, I'll explain it by the word. Don't just take my word for it. Who cares what I think or say? If you are not consistently speaking what you're believing for, you are not in faith. We talk about this a lot of times, you know, that... Actually, the message I preached last Saturday, Allegheny, was talking about that patient side of faith. Because the Bible says faith and patience. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. So you're supposed to believe when you pray. It says, and then you'll have them. But it doesn't promise you a time frame of when. And what does Galatians 6 say? If you faint not, you'll reap. If you faint not, you'll reap. You can't faint. You got to hold on. Hold fast to that confession of faith. And, you know, Pastor Mike will preach on healing, or Pastor Mike will preach on money, or Pastor Mike will preach on something, or lay hands on you and speak faith over you and believe God and pray with you. Do you agree with me? And then you walk out of here, and that's the starting gate. You just entered into faith. I've never yet seen a marathon runner faint at the starting line. I've never seen them drop out at the starting line. All of a sudden, they're there, and they're waiting for the gun. Boom! Oh, my gosh, I'm so tired. Never seen it. Never seen it. Never seen it. It's as you get into it, and you get farther down the road and farther down the next mile marker. People start slowing down. People start falling out. People stop running. People fall out of the race. People start walking in the race, right? It's not at the starting line, and it's the same way with faith. People start out like a ball of fire, and they confess it. And they say, Father, I thank you for my healing. What's that? That's confessing your faith. And I'm going to show you in the Word that you need to be doing that. And they start out, but then, like, I love what Margaret told me in that testimony. She said, you know, Pastor Mike, I go to the doctor, and every day I just kept saying, Lord, I thank you, I'm healed. I got hands laid on me. I believed it, and the Word says it's mine. I believed I received when I prayed. I believe it's mine. I believe it's mine. And she just kept saying it. She'd go to the doctors, and they're still on your regular heartbeat. Well, you can imagine the thoughts that the devil would give you. It's not working, it's not working, it's not working. No, she knew it worked. God's not a liar, it worked. I don't need the natural to change to know it worked. In fact, 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in Him. And He doesn't want to say, if the natural changes, that's the confidence we have in Him. No, Janae, pull that up please, 1 John 5 and verse 14. He says, this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know we have the petitions. All we need to know if things are changing is, did He hear me? If we know He hears us, the Bible says, we know we have it. That's the confidence. The confidence isn't whether or not the doctor's report's changed. The confidence is not whether or not the money's changing. The confidence is not whether or not I'm believing for my children and they're making a turn. That's not where the confidence comes from. That's confidence in the natural, and faith is not of the natural or the seen realm. The confidence is, did he hear me when I prayed? And when Margaret had hands laid on her, according to the word, we asked according to God's will. God's a healer. She said, I know at that moment, that's when the sickness started to leave my body. It didn't start to leave my body when it's gone. I believe I receive when I pray. That's why most people don't get it. They don't. Because they walk away from that place of prayer and days go by and months go by and nothing's changed, nothing's manifested, and they start letting that natural talk to them and get in there, and then their faith goes down the toilet. Amen. No, when you pray it, you don't need the natural to change to know it's changing. All the confidence isn't when it changes. The confidence is, did my Father hear me? If he did, he's faithful. And I'm going to stick with it, praise God. I'm going to stick with it until it comes to pass. And most people don't do that. But anyways, you got to be saying, if you're not consistently speaking it, you're not believing. Why? Well, Romans 10 and verse 10 says this, for with the heart man believes. You're going to find out that faith is in two places. Number one, it's in your heart. Faith starts in the heart. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Well, just use a natural example for me. When I was facing that test financially that I told you about during the offering, I did not have the faith for $2,000 a month. How do I know? I was scared. I was nervous. When Pastor Michael told me no, he's my pastor. He told me no, I'm not going to give you a salary. Because I asked him, I said, please let me get a salary and I will pay you back when my church gets up and going. And of course, you know that long story short, he told me no. He said it would ruin you. You're going to have to learn faith. Well, I'll tell you what, I wasn't in faith for $2,000 a month. I thought, we're done. We are going under. He took me and threw me into the deep end and said, sink or swim, and I'm glad he did. Because I said, I ain't going to sink, so I'm going to swim. Well, how do you get faith? Well, Romans 10:17 tells me how to get it. You want to get faith for something? Romans 10:17 is your answer. Don't ask God for faith. That's not how you get it. Don't ask God for more faith. You don't see it ever in the Word. You don't see Jesus ever praying for their faith. You see, for more faith, we see Jesus praying for Peter that his faith won't fail. But he never prays for more faith. You need faith. You say, I could never believe for that. I could never believe for that. You could if you got more word in you, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word. The more word you hear, the more your faith will rise. It's a spiritual law. God's not a liar. So I just got in the word and listen. Well, what happened was faith rose up on the inside of me. It's the same thing that happened to you when you were a sinner. And somebody told you about Jesus in eternity. You didn't know anything about that. And then you were told, and wow, something happened. Faith rose up on the inside of you. You got excited. And what'd you do? You released your faith and confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior and had enough faith to believe in something you've never seen, in such a wacky story that some guy that you never met, that's so-called the Son of God and perfect, died on the cross and died and rose again and now seated at the right hand of the Father. And if you just believe, you don't have to go to hell. And you bought it hook, line, and sinker. Why? Because of the faith on the inside of you. And nobody could talk you out of it. You didn't figure that out with your head. You didn't figure out in your flesh. You had that with your heart knowledge, the Spirit of God. Well, how did that faith come for that? Someone told you about it. So with the heart, man believes, but it doesn't stop there. It says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Or you could say it this way, the confession brings the possession. What am I saying? Well, what does it say in Romans 10 and verse 9, the verse before? That if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe. It's about believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Why is it about believing and speaking? Well, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13 tells us why it's about believing and speaking. Glory to God. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, we have the same spirit of faith. If you look up that word spirit in a Greek concordance, and you can do this on your own, that word spirit there means vital sign. We talked about a checkup. What are vital signs of life? Well, your blood pressure shows that you have life. Your heartbeat shows that you have life, right? Your pulse shows there's life. Breathing shows there's life. There's signs we can tell there's life. Well, the Bible says there's vital signs of faith. And he tells what they are according to his written. I believe. That's first. You believe. How do you believe? You hear the word, you believe. But he says that faith doesn't stop there. Once you believe, faith must be released. He says, I believe. Therefore, because I believe, and that goes along with Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, where Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You get enough of this word on the inside of you, it'll start coming out of your mouth. Amen. It's true. He said, I believe, therefore I've spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Well, if you go back to Romans 10 and verse 10, what did it say? For with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made that brings the promise to you. Well, what did Jesus say? Janae, will you pull up Mark 11, verse 23? What did Jesus say? Therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Why? Belief starts in the heart. But the mountain doesn't move just because you have belief in your heart. He said, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He'll have what he saith. That's an ongoing thing. Saith, 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 saith. Faith people keep saying. Hebrews 10:23 says, don't let go of your confession of faith. Hold fast to that thing. Amen. You know what faith is? And this is what I preached on last night. Maybe we'll share this sermon another time. I'll give you a little preview of it, depending on what the Holy Ghost says and when we can do it. Faith is like a blank check. God says, all things are possible. Here, it's faith. Fill it in. You say, how do you know, Pastor Mike? Well, just for time's sake, remember blind Bartimaeus over there in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46? He said, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that Jesus was going by, he began to cry out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, be quiet, hold your peace. And blind Bartimaeus cried out all the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It got Jesus' attention, didn't it? Now, what did blind Bartimaeus do? Blind Bartimaeus threw off his garment, the Bible said. Why did the Bible point out that he threw off his garment? Because the garment that he had was a government-issued garment for a person that was able to be on the side of the road begging legally. See, they had scam artists back then that would fake being disabled, fake being blind, and hold their cups out and people give. Well, he had that cloak on him that said, I'm legit, I have needs here, but help me, I can't work. And so when he cast off that garment and came to Jesus, he came to Jesus as a blind man. What was that showing? He believed. What was he saying? I don't need that garment anymore. Faith always has action. He said, I don't need that garment anymore. But here's what's interesting. You go back and you read that story. When that blind man cast out that garment, Jesus saw it. Jesus saw what he did. Blind Bartimaeus had acts of faith. Blind Bartimaeus had belief. To do that, he had belief. But you know what? He stood before Jesus. And you know what Jesus asked him? Seems like the dumbest question in the world. Jesus asked him, what do you want? What do you want, blind Bartimaeus? Because it's not according to my faith. It's what do you want? I told you all things are possible. Now fill it in. Well, how did blind Bartimaeus fill in the blank check? He said, I want my sight. My sight. Yeah. If you're not saying, you're not in faith. Why? Faith has vital signs. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but if I don't have a heartbeat, it doesn't matter if you can see me up here. I'll be standing up, no heartbeat. I don't have a pulse. Flatlining, right? No sign of life. Oh, I'm in faith. Well, what are you saying every day? You're holding fast to that confession? You speaking that thing? Praise God. That's a faith checkup right there. Oh, I'm in faith. Yeah, maybe in the first few months you were. Again, I go back to Margaret. She said, every day I thought about it. Every time, Lord, thank you, I'm healed. What is she doing? Holding fast to her confession. Speaking to the mountain. If you faint not, you'll reap. So many people are fainting along the side of the journey and the patient side of it. I know it gets tough. The natural gets so loud. The natural gets so hard. The symptoms and the finances, and it doesn't seem like anything's changing. And we drop the ball and we fumble away our faith. I know because I've been guilty of it. Have any of you ever been guilty of it? And we start out like a ball of fire out of a service like this, and then a month goes by, 2 months go by, a half a year goes by. It's like, well, it must not have worked. You just fumbled it away. It's not working because you're not seeing it. It's working when you believed it. It's working. It's done. It's over with. The manifestation will come. Praise God. That's number one. Number two. Oh, here we go. If you are in worry, fear, anxiety, stress about any situation. That's a big statement. If you are in worry, fear, anxiety, stress over any situation, you are not in faith. Remember, don't take my word for it. Take Jesus' word for it. Go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And I know some people have faced some very scary things and have been in situations where it looks impossible and it looks hard and it looks like it's never going to be different. And the doctors use words like incurable and impossible, and your mind's telling you things, and you've read things on the internet, and the bank account and your job and your bills are testifying. All those things, I get it. People have situations with their children. People have situations in their life. And it's a big statement to say if you are worried, in fear, anxious, or stressed about anything, you're not in faith. Because the thought is, and what the devil will tell you is, who do you think you are? You're not in my position. How can you say that? Because what's happened is that thing that's causing you to worry, to stress out, to be anxious, to be fearful, has magnified itself over your God. And you no longer have thought that nothing's too hard for him, like he said, nothing's impossible for him, and that thing has testified, it's never changing. This is how it's always going to be. This is how it's always been. This is your new normal. And you've bought into it, and you've become worried about it. Can't do that. Can't do that. Mark 4 and verse 35, the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let's pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him. Now who took him? These are professional fishermen, skilled on the water. He's a carpenter. Even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind. One translation says, a hurricane proportion sized storm. How do we know it was that bad? Look at the next part of the verse. The waves beat into the ship. So now that it was ankle deep. No. The storm was so bad. You talk about the natural talking. That the water was in the boat and the boat was full. They could swim around the boat. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not a boater, that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to have a boat full of water. And look at what they said. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Verse 38. Now I want you to think about this in terms of what you're worried about. What you're anxious about. What you're fearful about. What you're stressing about. And look what Jesus, he said. First they said, and a master, do you care not that we perish? Now again, they're not rookies on the water. They know this is a storm that can end our lives. Well, on the scale of minor problems to major problems, when you think you're going to die, that kind of hits the major end. Kind of beats your washer breaking down. Kind of beats not being able to pay your mortgage payment. I'm not saying that's not bad, but we're talking the extreme end of the scale of trials. Right? And look at your sweet Savior's response. You think I'm bold? You meant Jesus. He arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. Why would Jesus have to speak that out? Why? Because that's how faith is released, through words. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, remember, these are people that left everything to follow him. They're his boys. And they're convinced we're dead. They're scared. They're frightened. They're terrified. They're worried. And we would all say naturally they had every right to be. Naturally they had every right to be worried, every right to be stressed, every right to be anxious, every right to be fearful. And Jesus asked them a question. Why? And their response would naturally be, do you not see the water to the top of the boat? We're going under the storm. He didn't care about the natural. You know what this kind of sounds like to me? It sounds like a little bit of Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. That's not a suggestion. The word says to be anxious, to be not fearful, to not be stressed, to not be worried about anything. And Jesus said, in the worst case scenario, he said, why are you afraid? Why are you fearful? Well, what's a synonym of fearful? Stress, worry, anxiety, fear, right? And look what this response he said. Now remember, what's the currency of heaven? How do you receive all things? Through. How do you receive the promises of God? Through. And look what he says to people that are in fear and worry, because they were in fear, worry, doubt, and stress, and anxiety. He says, how is it that you, who? The worried one, the fearful one, the stressed out one. How is it that you have no faith? What's he saying? These two things don't mix. So I'm here to tell you, you're believing for the situation to turn. And I told you, faith is the currency. That's how you get it. You're believing, use that lightly, because we're maybe checking up on some things for that situation to turn, but yet you're stressed to the max about that. You lay in bed all night, just tormented in your mind and don't deal with that, and worried and wringing your hands and talking about it to people and stressing out. But yet you're believing for that. If you're worried, if you're stressed, if you're anxious, if you're fearful, you are not in faith. It doesn't matter what the situation is. You say, well, then how is it possible? I'll help you with that. But real quick, remember in Mark chapter 5, we don't need to turn there for time's sake. Remember Mark chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says that Jairus came to Jesus and said, my daughter is at the point of death. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal her. And remember what happened on the way to Jairus' house? The woman with the issue of blood met Jesus and he ministered to her. And verse 34 says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace, behold thy plague. And be whole, continuously whole of thy plague. And then the next verse it said, and people from the ruler's house, synagogue house, came to him and said, don't trouble the master any further, she's dead. Well, from Jesus' perspective, it didn't matter whether she was alive or dead. It didn't matter. The power of God trumps anything. It didn't matter to him. All of a sudden, Jesus heard that and he goes, oh, what am I going to do? No. He said, what did he do? The Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard the word, you can look this up. As soon as Jesus heard the word, he looked at Jairus and said, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. What's he saying? You can't be afraid and be in faith. You can't be worried and be in faith. Be not afraid, only believe. He's showing you the differences. They're not the same thing. They can't mix. They don't cohabitate together. They're opposites. They're like oil and water. So Pastor Mike, how in the world do you expect me with X, Y, and Z that I'm going through to not be worried about that, to not be stressed? Well, if it wasn't possible, he wouldn't have told us to do it. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 is your answer. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. The word is so good. Helps us, praise God. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. We're doing a faith checkup. He said, I'll keep them in perfect peace. Is worry perfect peace? No. Is stress and anxiety and fear perfect peace? No. Well, he says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. Well, how are you going to do that? I'll keep you in perfect peace whose bills are all paid. Who's got the hope of great financial increase right around the corner? No. I'll keep him in perfect peace whose doctor's report's all lining up. Whose I's are dotted and T's are crossed, ducks are in a row. No. He says perfect peace is available to the person who keeps their mind stayed or fixed on thee. Well, what is him? The Word. The Word. The Word. Renew your mind to the Word. What does Romans 12:2 say? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You keep your mind on the Word. The doctor says the waves. See, if they would have done this, in Mark 4, they would have made it through without having to be afraid. Because remember what Jesus said to them? Let's go to the other side. He didn't say let's go out in the middle and die in a storm. He said we're going to the other side. Well, the natural testified, no, you're not. And your body will testify, no, you're not. And the doctors will testify, no, you're not. And your checkbook will testify, no, you're not. And the natural will say, no, you're not. Just like the promised land told the children of Israel, no, you're not. But if you stay fixed on the Word, you tell me what you think when you're $2,000 short and a baby on the way and just get born And God tells you you can't go get a third shift job, but you got to believe for $2,000 a month. People stress out if they're $100 short. You tell me the thoughts you'd get being $2,000 short every time the calendar flipped to a new month, new bills were coming in. It put me $2,000 short. You tell me the thoughts, but you know what got me through that? I didn't focus on the bills. I focused on one thing, Philippians 4:19. I kept focused. I said, Lord, you said you'd meet all my needs according to your riches, not whether or not I have a salary, not whether or not how much my bills are, not whether much I have in the bank account. According to your riches, I just kept my mind on that. And you know why? I stayed in perfect peace. So much so that every month I started to look forward to when the calendar flip. I didn't dread being the $2,000 short a month. And she'll tell you, it's true. Because I couldn't wait to see what my God, who's bigger than $2,000 short a month, will do for me this month. And if you'd get a revelation that God's bigger than what you're facing, you'll find out what he said about that. You'll keep your mind on that, and you'll stay in peace, and you'll stay in faith. All they had to do when the storm was filling up, they thought, wow, this is a storm that could kill us. We can't die. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Don't even bother waking them up. Let's just start casting water out of this thing and using our faith, because Jesus said we can't die. No sense of waking him up. He already told us where we're going. Got to believe his word. Now, last but not least. So, number one, if you're not consistently speaking, you're not in faith. Why? Speaking is a vital sign of faith. With the heart, man believes, but with the mouth, the confession is made unto salvation. Number two, if you're worried about anything, you're not in faith. You're not in faith. And number three, if you are not in love, you are not in faith. If you are not in love, you are not in faith. What does not in love mean? Well, real quick, go to Galatians 5 and verse 6, and I want to show you something. Galatians 5 and verse 6. If you're not in love, and I'm going to make some statements here. Oh, we need a love checkup. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. What's he saying? He's saying to the Galatians, who are the Jews that just came out of practicing Judaism, into being Christians now. Their main thing is thinking about circumcision. That was how to show somebody was in covenant with God, to be circumcised. He says, that's not what matters anymore. So it's not circumcision that avails anything. But what does avail is faith. Right? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For by grace through faith are you saved. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Ephesians 6 and verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Yeah, all these places. Hebrews 6:12, for by faith and patience you inherit the promise. He's saying it's not the circumcision anymore. You need to get faith in you, is what he's saying. And we've seen that. Why? All things come to us through faith. It's the currency. But it says faith which worketh by love. Faith works by love. The Amplified, Janae, please, if you wouldn't mind, would help us. We've seen this before, but we're having a checkup. It's like when you go to the doctor to check up, they've checked my ears before, but glad they keep checking them. They've checked my throat before. They've checked my weight before. They've checked my blood pressure before, but I'm glad they keep checking. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith. Faith is what it matters. And he says, but look at faith. Faith is activated. Remember that King James said it works. What's that mean? It works by love. It's activated and energized. We've talked about faith being like a cell phone. You can have a wonderful cell phone. This iPhone does so much for me. It helps me out so much. I have so many hours of Bible teaching on here. The Bible on here. My notes, my reminders, my appointments. All the things that you can do through text messaging and online and stuff on this. But if I just buy this cell phone and walk out of the store, I can't call anybody with it, can't use it. It has to be activated and energized. And remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. Though I can speak with tongues of men and angels, if I have not love, I become a sounding as a tinkling brass or cymbal. Though I can give my body to be burned and give all my goods to the poor, if I have not love, profits me nothing. And then what did he say? And though I have faith, all faith that I could remove mountains, if I don't have love, it's nothing. Yeah, you got the cell phone, but it hasn't been activated and energized yet. Yeah, I believe God can do it. I believe God wants to do it. You got faith. I got faith for that mountain. That thing's not too big. That financial problem's not too big. That sickness, God's bigger than that. Okay, you might have faith to remove mountains, but if you don't have love, your faith is a dead cell phone. It hasn't been activated and energized. Love, 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 love. In Galatians 5:6, the word love there, you can go back to the King James, Janae, is the word agape. In 1 Corinthians 13, they use the word charity, but if you go back to the original Greek, it's the same word agape. Well, where's that word agape from? Well, in 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not does not know God, for God is agape. God is love. It's talking about the God kind of love. So, let me say this to you. Walking out of love is doing anything that God wouldn't do. Talking like God wouldn't talk. Acting like God wouldn't act. Treating someone like God wouldn't treat somebody. Talking behind somebody's back. Amen. Now here we go. Let me get to the end of here. The love that he's talking about that we need to love to keep our faith going, that helps keep the faith energized to remove mountains, it's not a love based on what you think or what you feel. What do I mean by that? Well, or your opinion. For example, you know, we think, well, because they treated me a certain way or they did something, it justifies me to say this or to treat them like this. That's your opinion of what you think, but God clearly shows us in the Word what love is. In 1 Corinthians 13, I encourage you to do this. We won't do this tonight for time's sake. But in verses 4 through 8, remember he says, love is this, love is that. And then he goes on to say, love is, now we always use this at weddings, right? Love is patient, love is kind. And it gets dumbed down at times because we just think that's the wedding verses. No, that's telling you exactly what love looks like. That it's not selfish, that it doesn't insist on its own rights, it's not touchy, it's patient, it's kind, right? And we see all through the Word different aspects of the love of God. It doesn't backbite, it doesn't cause strife, it doesn't cause division, it doesn't broadcast people's wrongs, it doesn't kick somebody when they're down. It's a restoring love, it's a patience love, it's a kind love. And I'll tell you what, if there's anything that'll snuff out the flame of your faith, it's love walk. And I see it the most in people. I have people that tell me the Word doesn't work. I've confessed the Word. And out of the same mouth, I've heard them talk about somebody that years ago did something to somebody. And well, they're blankety-blank this, and they're just worthless pieces of garbage and stuff. That's not love. Talking back, the Bible says love will cover sin, not expose it. The Bible says you that are spiritual, restore a person that's overtaken in a fault. Don't kick them when they're down. Be the person that helps bring them back to life. That's what love does. That's what God does. Love doesn't seek revenge. Love hangs on the cross and says, Father, forgive them. That's the love that Jesus said in John 13, 34, a new commandment I give you. Not a new suggestion, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Oh, I need to say this. I've never seen such vitriol and anger towards a president like the president we have now. Now, is that Pastor Mike saying he must be a Republican and he voted for Donald Trump and he's a lover of Donald Trump? No, I'm just telling the truth. The Word of God tells me to do one thing for my president, to pray for him. Not to criticize him, not to talk bad about him, not to question everything, to pray for him. And there are Christians, born again. I can't stand him. I hate him. He's awful. Doesn't matter what you think about his policies. I'm not telling you if I agree with them or don't agree with them. I'm not saying that. It has nothing to do with policies. But Christians think that their love walk's going to work. And they're slamming somebody that the Bible says to lift up in prayer. That's what the Word says. Don't run out of here and say, Pastor Mike's preaching politics. I'm not. I'm preaching the Bible. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth, glory to God. People think their love walk's going to work doing that kind of stuff. I will say this because there's a door in the Spirit to say it. Before you get off on your little whoever's in office kick, and why don't you find out what's God's take on the matter? I'm not going to get into politics because I won't do it, because my job is to preach the word and I love people. And my job's not to be a preacher of politics. But, what if God is the reason Donald Trump's in office? What if that was God's plan for America? It doesn't matter if you agree. Now, you might say to yourself, God would never use a man with a mouth like that or the things he tweets. God used King Cyrus in the Old Testament, who was an ungodly king that was used to deliver and bless the Israelites. He did. You say, God used that? Yeah, ungodly. But people get so caught up in their emotions and what they think and what they feel and what they listen to, and they're gossiping, and they're, or if they hear about a celebrity, or doesn't matter. Walking on love is walking on love, whether it's the president or whether it's your cousin. But man, before I was going to speak about the president of the United States and how could he be in office, what an idiot. Oh, if that's God's man, you're speaking against God. I'm just telling you, it's the truth. Why don't we find out what God's take on the matter is? And man, wouldn't it be something if all your faults were in the magnifying glass? And everybody talked about you the way you talk about someone that you see that you don't agree with? What are we doing? Trying to hit a home run for love for you. And don't you dare walk out of here with the politics idea and Pastor Mike, oh, he's a Donald Trump lover. If I am or if I'm not, you're not going to know about it. No, because my job is to preach the Bible. And the Bible, listen, I loved President Clinton. I'm supposed to love everybody. I prayed for President Clinton. I prayed for President Bush. I prayed for President Obama. I love them as people. The Bible says I'm to walk in love, love all. Doesn't mean I agree with everything they do. Doesn't even mean maybe I voted for all of them. But I'm to love them, and I'm to pray for them, and I'm not to criticize them. And if I do, I'm walking out of love, and bye-bye faith. I know there was a boy band one time, and they sang bye-bye-bye. Just say that to your faith. Bye-bye-bye, it's gone. I don't know. It was like the Backstreet Boys or something. I don't know who it was, but it was one of them. They sang bye-bye-bye. Just sing that about your faith. Talking bad about the president, talking bad about people in politics, talking bad about people on the news, talking bad about people you know. And yeah, they might be doing bad things, and they might be saying bad things. Doesn't give you any right to talk about it. I'm just trying to keep your faith working. Yeah, but you sit there with your grudges. You sit there holding your vitriol because your flesh is rubbed the wrong way, and you just watch yourself keep struggling, going around that same mountain of defeat. And you're confessing, you don't understand. You know God's a healer, you know God's a blesser, you know God's this and that, but your love walk stinks. And there's no activation, no energy behind that thing. Amen! Now say this with me, say, Pastor Mike, I love you so much. Thank you. We'll close with this, Matthew 5:44, and we'll shut the Bible, because it doesn't matter how good you think they are. Because Jesus kind of told us something here in Matthew 5:44. He said, but I say unto you, love, love, love everyone you agree with or that has the ideas that you do. No, love your enemies. He says, even the worst of the worst, you're to love them. That's agape love. That's what he's saying. You do with it what you want. You know, praise God. We report, you decide. Hallelujah. Well, we just had our faith checkup. Amen. Thank you, doctor. Hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful, so thankful for the word of God. It keeps us safe, keeps us helped, keeps us blessed. Praise God. Lord, we know that faith is our answer, but faith looks like some things. Faith has some qualities, has some evidence to it. And so, Father, I just pray that people would take, like the word said, let a man examine themselves, that they would humbly examine their life to see, do I need to make a change? Am I struggling and worry? I have dropped the ball in confessing and speaking to the mountain. Jesus, you said the mountain will only be removed if I say. And you know what? Pastor Mike hit a nerve tonight and struck a chord with me. And I have some forgiveness to do. I have some shutting my mouth to do. I have some repenting to do for the love walk problems that I've had. I pray that people be so humble. Be so humble to go before you, Lord, and get these things straight. Father, you're just trying to keep us in faith, in line to receive. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, I'm pretty confident everybody in here under the sound of my voice has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but we do have the internet right now that's broadcasting this sermon to anybody in the world that would log into it and hear it, and we have also the archives that they can log into and hear in the future. And if you're listening right now by live stream, or if by chance you are in here and you're not saved, like I said, I have a good witness in my spirit that everybody's born again. But if you're listening by live stream now or in the future by the archive, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know the answer is 100% yes. And if you say, well, how do you know for sure? Because you might think, well, I think I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. I've been a good person. I've gone to church occasionally. I've tried to live a good moral, upstanding life. I've been generous to the needy. Well, those things are good, but they don't get you into heaven. And I'm so grateful that, you know, heaven is the ultimate destination. God didn't leave out the directions. He told us how to get there. And it's really simple. You know, it has nothing to do with church attendance. It has nothing to do with your good deeds outweighing your bad. In fact, the best way I can point out is when Jesus died on the cross, there was a criminal on either side of him. One of the criminals kind of mocked him and didn't believe in him. And the other criminal who, you know, he was there on the cross dying because he was what the world would call a bad person. He wasn't what you call a churchgoer, or maybe his morality was in question, you know. And he looked at Jesus and said, I believe. I believe you are who you say you are. So number one, the guy believed. Number two, he released his faith through his words. He believed. He did Romans 10:9. He confessed with his mouth and believed in his heart. Well, if you're here, if you're listening online and you say, I don't know how to get there. I think I get there. I'm telling you, that's how you get there. Number one, you believe in Jesus. If you can say in your heart of hearts that you believe in Jesus, that's the first qualification. The next qualification is to release that faith and ask him to come into your heart. And you simply just pray a prayer like this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. I believe you're real. And I ask you to come into my heart. Now, if you'll pray that and mean it, he'll do what he said he would do, which is to come into your heart, save you, wash you clean. Your spirit would be born again. You become a child of God. And I encourage you, if you pray that the first time, send me an email, give me a phone call, let me know, and we'll send you some materials and get you hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church. And you might think, well, I thought you said church had everything to do with it. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but if you want to receive all that God has for you, you need a pastor. And you need to plant in a Bible-teaching church. Jesus said, without a pastor, people are scattered and faint. Matthew 9, verse 35 through 37. And so we'll help you get into a Bible-teaching church where you can start learning about all that God has for you and watch God change and transform your life. Praise God. We thank you for it. Now let's all in this congregation, let's stand to our feet. And let's begin to lift our voice and praise him. Thank him for correction if you got corrected tonight. Thank him for help. It's good to have a checkup because then we can find out where we're, hey, there's something going on in your throat there. We need to get that fixed. Well, thank God they found it. Or, hey, there's something wrong with your heartbeat. Well, thank God I went for the checkup and found out. Or, there's something wrong with your blood test here. Well, thank you, Lord, for the faith checkup tonight. Lord, we receive our help here tonight. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10.